From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Nopa.
I'm from Pittsburgh.
I live in Ingleside.
I live in Sausalito.
I live in the East Bay, Hercules, California, USA, planet Earth.
Coming up, how the city's finding jobs for San Francisco's young people.
Either you want to get up and be motivated or just sit around and do nothing or hang on the corner or something like that, which is easy to do.
Plus, how some city elders are trying to improve their neighborhood.
We got to make a change. And I'm coming, that's from the street. That ain't from the Word of God. That's just from my heart.
And to help students, a teacher shifts from textbook teaching to survival skills.
Being a good teacher wasn't enough. I mean, they were getting A's in math, but F's in life. And it's tough to give a kid an A in math at 13 and go to his funeral when he's 19.
Finding new leaders today on Cross Currents. It's back to the books for school kids around the Bay, and recent graduates are out looking for work. In San Francisco, if you're between the ages of 16 and 24, your chances are pretty grim. Young people here are three times more likely to be unemployed than the rest of the population. It's so bad here and across the country that The Economist magazine recently referred to young people as Generation Jobless. Last year, City Hall decided this is a problem that needs major attention. San Francisco invests about $15 million on workforce development for youth throughout the year. And this year, one of the most successful programs is expanding. Angela Penny has our story.
In January of 2012, President Barack Obama called upon mayors across the country to create jobs for youth in their cities. San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee listened.
And so today, we're kicking off San Francisco Summer Jobs Plus, a partnership to create more than 5,000 high-quality summer jobs and paid internships for our young people with a focus on at-risk and disconnected youth in our city.
There's a lot of things that kids can offer. I think they have a lot of upside to being in the workforce.
Aaron Yen works with young people at the YMCA in the Excelsior, one of San Francisco's most ethnically diverse districts. The Y hosts one of six neighborhood centers funded by the city, where local kids can get career counseling.
It gives them a more realistic picture of what life can be and what life is and how hard it is to make a wage, and also gives them an opportunity to earn something. And it teaches them the value of a dollar.
Yen and his team worked with about 100 young people this summer, teaching them computer skills, prepping them to get a job, and exploring work possibilities around the city. Things like gardening in city parks to working at the new exploratorium. Yen says a lot of kids he sees fall into trouble because they just don't know how to find work.
Young people committing violent crimes against each other, a whole bunch of stuff. So, and that's kind of one way to divert them, is to put them into something constructive opposed to, you know, not having anything to do and maybe getting mixed up with the wrong crowd.
Either you want to or you don't. Either you want to get up and be motivated or just sit around and do nothing or hang on the corner or something like that, which is easy to do.
22-year-old Cavassier Hill lives in Sunnydale, a housing project on the south side of the city. He found a job with the Parks Department through Arriba Juntos, one of about 30 nonprofits funded through Summer Jobs Plus, learning things
like how to keep a job and what you need to maintain that job. So that's being on time, motivated, ready to do anything, and ready to tackle any challenges.
Far away from the Excelsior in the busy financial district, other young people are taking those skills further. About 50 interns are getting paid to sit around tables in a conference room and talk about managing their money. This is another aspect of Summer Jobs Plus. It's a weekly class run by the United Way's MatchBridge, an organization that links youth with jobs in the private sector. Director Matt Poland says young people found jobs with businesses ranging from The Melt to Airbnb to Wells Fargo.
We just had Starbucks in this week, who gave conditional offers to 18 young folks out of about 29 that showed up, which is a great rate to have.
19-year-old Alexis Hunter got a position with mobile payment company Square.
It's a serious opportunity, especially for people that don't have this type of access in certain areas.
Hunter, who went to high school in San Francisco's Fillmore District, has been getting paid jobs and internships through MatchBridge for 3 years.
You get connected with all types of people in all different levels and areas, and it's a great way to see what the workforce is like.
Which is great for her, but
it's very competitive. A lot of people.
This summer, the MatchBridge internship received 300 applications for 76 slots. That means 3/4 of applicants were turned away. To serve more people, San Francisco Summer Jobs Plus program is expanding into the school year. Excelsior District Jobs Counselor Matthew Snope says they'll have to change the name.
Maybe SF after school jobs or weekend jobs or job shadows or internships or volunteering. But we definitely want it to be something that is year round because, you know, eventually students will graduate and then they're in the workforce and they're facing the real world.
Last year, San Francisco's Summer Jobs Plus program served about 5,200 youth. This year, Mayor Lee called for 6,000. The city will announce the number of young people who found jobs through the program later this month. In San Francisco, I'm Angela Penny for Cross Currents.
Do you have a job search story to share with us? Call us and leave us a message at 415-264-7106. Whether it's positive or less so, give us a call at 415-264-7106 and leave us a message, and we'll try to put your story on the air. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. A job can help keep kids off the street and out of trouble, but it's not always enough. Sometimes keeping youth on the right track means you have to get up close and personal.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Don't y'all feel it's time for a change?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Randolph James. He's part of a group in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood called HP, or Having Pride. It's an organization that takes to the streets to talk to young men, hoping that the conversations they have will encourage young people to make drastic changes in their lives for the better. Having Pride is made up of black men in their 60s and 70s who have seen things in their communities go downhill over the last few years. Reporter Christopher Johnson has that story.
Having Pride rolls up to the plaza at 3rd and Oakdale with a mission. Hit the bricks and tell everyone they meet about the group's job placement, food assistance, and GED programs. But before that work starts, well, please remove your hats, they say, and join hands in the circle. It's time to pray.
Letting them know, Heavenly Father, how you have saved us, Heavenly Father.
Yes,
how
yes,
we come back
yes.
to try and help them, Heavenly Father.
Here's what drives HP. Number one, Christ. These folks don't just believe in Jesus. They believe that he's given them a mission to go back into their communities and serve fearlessly. Number two.
Love my people. I hate seeing us going down. So if I can make a difference, fine.
When HP President Randolph James says, my people, he means black folks. The ones who live around here are struggling with high unemployment, double-digit homicide, gang violence, and a sense that this city doesn't care about them anymore. But these folks still matter to James and HP's other members. Most of them come from Hunters Point or nearby Bayview. They all went to the same few grade schools together, and they still love the place where they grew up. More than half a dozen HP members fan out like a small platoon across the plaza, armed with Bibles, Christian tracts, and business cards.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Don't y'all feel it's time for a change?
Yeah. Yeah.
James poses the question to a small crew of young men and women. They apologize to him for the faint smell of weed smoke and for the gold and ruby cans of Old English malt liquor tucked in paper bags. Don't worry about all that, James says. But if you want a better, safer Bayview, where you own homes and have good jobs, that hard work starts now. James leans in.
Think about it. You got kids? Do you want them to come up in today's world, or you want them to come up in a better world? We got to make a change. And I'm coming, that's from the streets. That ain't from the Word of God. That's just from my heart.
A lot of people would be too scared to do this, heading into a neighborhood with a rough reputation and walking right up to a group of young people, strangers, drinking and smoking. But this place, it's not strange to James. Just a few decades ago, he was here too.
I ran these streets. I ran with dope fiends, killers, thieves. If I was tough or considered myself to be tough back then, I could walk the streets anywhere. God told me he didn't give me the spirit of fear.
What God did give James, he says, was a second chance. A self-described former hellraiser, he was in gangs around here, doing drugs and drinking a lot. The church and his wife helped pull him out.
But I'm reading and hearing about African Americans killing one another. And I'm saying, man, what is our people doing? I'm hearing everybody complaining, but who's doing what? So then it came to me about, why don't you do something? Why don't you go back to your old neighborhood? Why don't you see if you can make a difference?
Several of the members, like James, were involved in gangs decades ago. Today, their affiliations are their churches. But that gangster swagger, these OGs still have it. When they're out on the street, they don't walk, they stroll. The young people see that, and they're respectful. A few even stick around when an HP member rolls his luxury car right into the plaza. He's mounted four loudspeakers on the roof. Once he's done preaching, another member takes the mic and floods the plaza with a song. It might be hard to see how this bullhorn evangelism is supposed to convince young people to leave the streets, get their high school diplomas, find jobs, and fight the poverty and gun violence racking their town. James explains HP's tactics like this.
It's like playing a game of golf.
For the first shot, HP swings big and hard with its message. That's the loudspeaker tack. Out of the thousands they preach to, they say, maybe one or two people will reach out, looking to change their lives. James calls these the chip shots.
It looked like it worked for him. Maybe I might just give it a try for me. The chip shot is working till you get to the hole that you need to make.
HP's motto is iron sharpens iron. It comes from the Bible. For them, it means that residents all work together to strengthen the whole. It's apt, not just because this is a Christian group. Some of these guys were once actually iron workers, plus longshoremen, carpenters, and electricians. They're also focused on jobs. HP works with the city to help young people find trade work. That's where Oscar James comes in. No relation to Randolph. The HP organizer focuses on vocational training, and he recruits heavily on San Francisco streets, down at the plaza, and up in Hunters Point's housing projects. As a teenager, Oscar ran with the Egyptians and then the Vanguards. He calls them clubs, not gangs. Either way, serious business.
They made me the war counselor, the sergeant of arms.
Today, Oscar's a man of peace. His title with HP is simply organizer. But back then, one of his clubs assigned him to oversee neighborhood battles.
Then we would take in our chains, our meat cleavers, our razors, and we would fight. You know, and longshoremen hooks. We wouldn't have no guns. It'd be hand-to-hand combat.
Longshoremen hooks? Meat cleavers? He's proud of this history, but he draws on the club wars of his day to press some points about the gang violence happening here today. Put down the guns. Fight for your families and fight for your community.
What I'm basically trying to do is tell these young people, it's power in numbers. With the division that they have, they don't have the power.
Again, it's hard to know who really gets reached like this. These aren't young men, the leaders of HP. He might be from the streets, but this is 2013, not the 60s, and these streets have changed a lot. HP President Randolph James says showing up and telling his own story about growing up in Hunters Point, it goes a long way. Remember, it's like golf. Slow, patient, strategic. For Cross Currents, I'm Christopher Johnson.
That story was mixed by Stephanie Fu for the Sights and Sounds of Bayview Project. It's a collaboration between KALW and the San Francisco Arts Commission to tell the stories of people making a positive impact in San Francisco's Bayview neighborhood. And it's way more than just a radio project. You can come and see for yourself on Thursday, September 19th at the historic Bayview Opera House. We'll present the stories we've collected live on stage along with photos, music, and a special surprise. Here's a hint.
Okay, it used to be 50. What they say when you were old? Well, 50 doesn't apply no more. 'Cause I am 76. And we can rock.
That event on September 19th begins at 7 p.m., but you can show up early and save a seat and grab some food and drinks. There'll be secure parking at the Super Save Market on 3rd and McKinnon with a free trolley to the Opera House. You'll find more details at kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. The Bay Area has hundreds of private organizations dedicated to helping students perform better in school and to keep them off of the streets. And they've all weathered seemingly endless budget cuts, some through heavy grant writing, others through donations. It's not easy to keep a nonprofit afloat, but when your statistics can show constant success, it's less of a problem. That's the case for the Omega Boys Club, which is a group that says its first priority is keeping kids alive and free. With a report from our archives, here's KALW's Leela Day.
Back in 1982, Joe Marshall was teaching at Woodrow Wilson High School on the southeast side of San Francisco. He thought he was pretty good at it, and by academic measures, he was. Then he realized that in a school serving low-income families, that wasn't enough.
They were getting A's in math, but F's in life, and it's tough to give a kid A in math at 13 and go to his funeral when he's 19.
Because in a minute, you're going to be challenged. And you need to be ready. When you leave here and you get back on the island.
When they got to high school, I get these horror stories about my former students. Everything from them ending up on drugs to them being in jail, being pregnant. But the worst thing was having to go to the funeral of a former student who was killed in some sort of drug or gang-related incident.
Have you ever been looked at and nobody really saw you? Yeah, you know what it's like to be invisible, where they just walk right by and act like you don't exist. That doesn't happen here. I see you.
Had I known, you know, maybe more, maybe I could have done more.
Marshall started to reflect on his own path. He'd grown up in St. Louis and then South Central L.A. He saw less than half of his African-American peers graduating from high school within 4 years. He had bucked the trend. Went to college at the University of San Francisco, became an advocate for civil rights. But it wasn't until he traveled to historically black colleges in the South that he found rooms full of African-American role models.
And it was the same way for me. I saw these young men. They were young men. They were 18, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old. Aspiring to be lawyers and doctors. And so it showed me that, wow, black men are way more than just thugs and non-serious students and athletes. And so it was great. I mean, and I flourished.
Welcome to Omega. This is how it works. This is what it's all about. So I'm coming to you.
Marshall founded the Omega Boys Club with a fellow teacher, Jack Jackwa, in 1987. It serves both boys and girls in an after-school program that offers academic tutoring and trains kids to stay off the streets.
Here at Omega, we will teach you the rules for living. We call them the rules for living, rules to live by. But we're letting you know that if you obey these rules, the chances of you staying alive and free and educated is if you follow these rules. So first rule is...
But Marshall says the program was not an immediate success.
The early kids I sent off to college, they did not do well, but they were not adequately prepared for college. This young man that wanted to go to college, he was a gang member, very smart. He wanted to change his life and said that, Dr. Marshall, I want to go to school. So I brought him here, I prepared him, put him on a plane, sent him down to school. He sold drugs on the college campus.
In 1990, only 28% of African Americans who went to college got their degrees. Marshall realized the same problems were following many of them out of their neighborhoods.
These young people get infected with a way of thinking. It's really sad because you know when a virus, this thing has a virus, they're walking around thinking they're okay. They just think it's bad luck. No, they've been programmed that way.
Programmed to fail. Once again, Marshall decided he could do more.
He asked me a question. How was I doing in school?
Andre Akins lived in Oakland, where he was a good high school student. But he says for that very reason, kids jumped him, stole his money, and made fun of him on the regular. He fought back, got into selling drugs, started ditching school. He remembers meeting Joe Marshall for the first time when Omega visited a gym filled with flunking kids.
And I said, man, I'm only here for a driver's license. You must have thought I called him an MF or called his mama a name or something because he went off. He went ballistic. And his whole thing was, how can you think so little of education when so many have given up everything to give you the opportunity to learn how to read, write, and do math, something that's your born given right, and that was kept from you for a number of years. And now you're freely not taking advantage of it.
That reached him. A week later, Akins was at the Omega Boys Club taking classes and focusing on his high school diploma. He got it and then headed south to Grambling University.
I can remember this guy walked past me and said, "What's up?" And I'm used to "what's up" meaning it's on for a confrontation. So I'm posturing from that. And he like, "I'm just saying hi." It blew my mind that people say hi to people just because it was just greeting strangers. This was something I was not used to. It was like I'm stepping into a whole nother universe.
A recent report by the Education Trust found that more African Americans succeed at colleges that engage both their academic and social lives at schools that identify dropout risks early. Support systems, it found, are just as important in higher education as they are in secondary school, where the Omega Boys Club began caring for Andre Akins.
After Grambling, became a math teacher in Oakland, became an assistant principal, full circle, I became the operations manager here.
The next rule is, a friend will never lead me to danger.
By 2010, for the first time, more than half of African Americans entering high school got their diploma within 4 years. It still lags far behind the rate for their white peers, who graduate at a 78% rate. But it's progress. Since 1987, the Omega Boys Club has helped more than 160 students graduate from high school. It's become a model for similar programs around the country and abroad, including Haiti, Thailand, and South Africa. And still, Joe Marshall believes he can do more.
I'm really excited about training more people and making more doctors of the Alive and Free prescription. And I'm really, really excited about that. There are people out there who want to help young people just like me. I want to find them and train them so they can help young people where they are.
At the Omega Boys Club in San Francisco, I'm Leela Day for Cross Currents.
Since that report originally aired, the Omega Boys Club now goes by the name Alive and Free. They've helped a total of 184 kids graduate from college. A few of you called in after we recently aired a report about Oakland residents organizing to fight crime. Here's some of what you had to say.
Next message.
Nina Johnson. I didn't know if KALW knew about nextdoor.com, a way to organize neighborhoods online. Works pretty well in my neighborhood. Thank you.
Hi there, this is Lena Wolf, and my comment is that, I think one way that residents there could help contribute to a better society in Oakland would be to make donations to local nonprofits that offer after-school programs or other programs for low-income kids who don't have that much to do after school. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And if you have more to say about that story, you can hear it and post a comment at our website. It's klw.org. And we'll end our show today with a little sound from the new Bay Bridge.
Can't you see it?
Hundreds of pedal pushers rode their bikes over the new Eastern Span for the inauguration of the bike path yesterday evening. Julie Kane heard them roll off. The East Bay Bike Coalition organized that ride over the Eastern Span toward Yerba Buena Island. That's where the path will stop. But for many of those bikers, even a path that's just halfway across the bridge is good enough for now. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Hannah Baba, Audrey Dilling, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Christina Loring, Alyssa Kapnick, Chris Hoff, Linda Jew, Daniel Moore, Holly J. McDeed, Isabel Angel, Stephen Short, and Raisu Sussman. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our senior producer is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, KALW is independent, listener-supported public radio.
When I first saw you, I didn't see. But now
the harmonies you're hearing now are from the sister act known as the Tea Sisters. These three siblings were part of this year's Free Folk Festival in San Francisco, and they sang on KALW's Folk Music and Beyond program in July. Now you can hear them at the Chapel in San Francisco on Saturday, where they're the opening band starting at about 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
See your glance shifting and quick.